You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Friday, October 30th, and we're getting you ready here on the Locked On Steelers podcast for Steelers versus Ravens. It's going to be a huge showdown this weekend. Get all your preview information right here on today's show. And I'm not alone. We've got Channel 11 from WPXI, our good friend, Jenna Harner. She's going to be joining me breaking down this game in the first segment, talking about the injury report and some matchup situations. Then, of course, in the second segment, we pick every single NFL game going around the league, giving you a preview of all the other matchups. But, of course, Friday, we give you the big time matchup, give you our top matchups in the Steelers-Ravens game and our final score predictions to show you who we think will come out on top in this old school NFL rivalry. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I like to watch this season when I'm going over game footage to see how TJ Watt gets a lot of his sacks. When I do, I like to drink a nice cold Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through your game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
Let's get into it. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. And today, join me as usual for our Friday Picks show, we've got Jenna Harner from WPXI TV here in Pittsburgh, Channel 11. Jenna, always happy to have you on the show. How you doing?
I'm always happy to be here. I'm so glad to be back. I feel like I say back, but it's every week, so we're having fun. It's been a good week. The Steelers remain undefeated, and so anytime that they're winning, we're all winning, really.
It really is. It really is that way, because we just get to keep rolling with the positivity. And the Steelers got some positivity in their injury report Thursday. Wednesday, we had, as usual, a lot of questions. Deontay Johnson didn't practice. Juju Smith-Schuster didn't practice. Mike Hilton didn't practice. But all those guys were back and ready to go. Ben Roethlisberger, full practice. Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, Villanueva, Eric Ebron, Stephon Tuitt, all in full practice. Now, Mike Hilton was back limited, but that progression is a good sign for the Steelers. The only players who didn't practice were Chris Wormley, Ulysses Gilbert, and Jordan Dangerfield. But Jenna, you got to attend practice, so you got to get the sense of that. But you now have a sense of where this team is health-wise. Did they seem like they got their mojo back and they're ready to go for the Ravens?
They really do. And I mean, to think about how everything happened with the quote unquote shortened bye week when everything happened with Tennessee, to see that the Steelers are at this point and they're as quote unquote healthy as they are, that's definitely a really good sign. Obviously, you want to stay healthy, especially coming out of this game. I know a lot of people earlier this week when we talked to Ben, he said, you really want your bye week to be after the Ravens week. But we don't want to look too far ahead, but in the sense, it is a very nice thing that they have the Cowboys coming after this game. I hate to say it like that, but but the fact that, we did see Hilton return to practice. We did see Derek Watt return to practice. This is trending in a good direction. They look pretty healthy. So that's also a really, really good sign.
It is a good sign. Also breaking, Jenna Harner now says the Dallas Cowboys are as good as a bye week.
I mean, if you want a team, this might come to haunt me a little bit, but everyone keeps saying too, we'll talk about Dallas hopefully in a little bit, but everyone keeps saying, seems like the trap game for them, especially if Ben DiNucci's playing at quarterback. And I'm like, okay, we're not going to get there yet, but it is a good thing that after playing, I mean, the fact that these 3 weeks, what was the stat, Chris? I think it was after week, I'm doing math in my head, after week five, the Steelers are like the first team since the 2004 Patriots to play three teams back to back with only one loss.
Yes.
Something to that extent.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And yeah, it's pretty crazy right now. And that's one thing that a lot of people think the Steelers could be in trouble with, because, I mean, they were a game of the week when they played the Browns. They were a game of the week when they played the Titans. And now they're the game of the week now that they're playing the Ravens. That's a lot of pressure to put on a team. So, I mean, there's a lot there. On the unfortunate side for the Ravens, their cornerback, Jimmy Smith, the guy that used to go toe-to-toe with Antonio Brown every week, he was limited in practice on Wednesday, but he didn't practice on Thursday. So he downgrades on his Achilles injury. And he might – I mean, we got to see how Friday pans out with the practice here today. Yeah. But he might not play, and that would be a huge dent in the Ravens' depth chart, because – They lost Earl Thomas before the season even started. Yep. Their strength in the secondary is the fact that they were deep at cornerback. When you have Marlon Humphrey, when you have Marcus Peters, and with Jimmy Smith, you have three guys that are starter caliber on any team in the NFL. And now, if you're down to two, that might open up some opportunities for somebody in the Steelers receiving corps.
Yeah, and we know how deep this Steelers receiving core is. And I just keep looking to what they did on that first drive against the Titans, just how surgical they were. What was it, like, almost 10 minutes long? It was over a nine-minute drive. I mean, you're going to tire defenses out if the Steelers do what they were able to do. And the fact that Baltimore might be a little bit slim at that cornerback position, I mean, that's going to give the Steelers a huge advantage. It's just with the depth that they have on offense, and if they can continue to eat the clock and manage that possession like they did, that could be a long day for this Ravens defense.
It could be. We'll see how that plays out. We will both be giving our predictions at the end, in the final segment of the show. But you know, we got a lot to talk about today, and we got to get to all the other picks first. But before we do that, we've got to give you a big shout out from our great sponsors at Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Sometimes I like to watch this season with a cold Pepsi when Ben Roethlisberger is throwing one of those touchdowns that he's thrown several times this year. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Whether it's a mental or a physical wall, you can break through it with Go every day. It's easy to take in just 1.5 ounce packages. You can put the package in your briefcase for your most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to help you power through the back nine, or just put it in your pocket to help you get through the day or through your workout. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling in the end. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink, but with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with protein, and that protein is fast absorbing to get into your system fast. Plus, it's easier on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my workout: beta alanine, B3, honey, and just a little kick of caffeine. And Built Go then kicks in to keep me going strong. It's got B6 and B12. And Built Go helps you get healthier joints, soft tissue, hair, and skin. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use their code LOCKED. That's LOCKED, LOCKED. And you'll get 30% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED, 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 for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI here in Pittsburgh. Jenna, it's time to get to the picks. Now, first off, we've got two teams that you're very familiar with. 2-4 Patriots at the 5-2 Bills. it is looking rough for the Patriots. They are now missing Julian Edelman due to an injury. They had a rough week last week getting trounced by the Niners. But the Bills didn't exactly beat the Jets too confidently, 18-10 in the game where I thought that they would just run the score up on those guys. What's your readout on this game? I have the Bills, but do you think that there's an upset in the making here potentially?
I think this is a game the Bills should win. On paper, the Bills are the better team. The Patriots just are nothing like the Patriots we have come to know over the last God knows how many years. And I think a lot of people are really, really loving that, including myself. However, this could also be a game that the Bills lose. This is such an emotional game. This could be, if you're the Bills, if you win this game, this is the turning of the tide in the AFC East. And I think they realize that, you know, seeing all my friends in Buffalo and all my fellow reporters, former reporters I used to work with, tweeting how, you know, all the guys are saying this, you know, they're looking at this as a normal game. They're not looking at this as a normal game. They're looking at this as a chance to really dethrone the Patriots in a division where the Bills haven't had a ton of success against this team over the last, again, handful of years. This should be a Bills win. I think the Bills do win this game, but I think it's a lot closer. I want to say it's within a 4-point game, but I mean, if Josh Allen can get back into the rhythm we saw him get into in the last couple or in the first couple games of the season, I think that this just the Patriots defense won't be able to keep up at all.
Yeah, I just think that there's a lot being asked of the Patriots right now, and the Bills, they have a lot of weapons on offense. I think this is going to be a long day for the Patriots and a huge celebration for the Bills and their fans because the Patriots, they've dominated the Bills for years. I can tell you that I was once in the Buffalo Blues, which was the Bills bar here in Pittsburgh for many years. And I was watching with several Bills fans. They took a late lead over the Patriots with like 4 minutes to go. I think they were up two possessions at one point. And I was like, hey, this looks really good. And all the Bills fans looked at me and they're like, you just jinxed it. And sure enough, Tom Brady walks him down the field, gets a touchdown. They get a turnover. They score again. Then they lose. And all the Bills fans are like, it's this guy's fault for us losing the Patriots again.
So no jinxing it this time.
No, I'm not saying nothing. All I'll say is I'm predicting that the Bills will win. That's as far as I'll go. If they blow it, it's not my fault.
We won't pin it on you, I promise.
Okay, moving right along. Titans at Bengals. Titans, of course, coming off the loss to the Steelers. They're 5-1. The Bengals, though, are 1-5-1. They took the Browns to the mat last week. But I still think that the Titans, even though they lost last week, I think that they're still a very good team. And the Bengals, they're trying to figure out who their identity is. They just sold off Carlos Dunlap to the Seahawks via trade. I think this is one where the Titans just get their mojo back, and it's just a beat down in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm with you. This should be a game that the Titans should win handily, especially because they're not going to say how frustrated they are at their kicker after that loss, but they are frustrated, and they're going to take those frustrations out on the Bengals. I think it's going to be a long day for Cincy's defense, and I think the Titans bounce back for sure.
Now, a more interesting game here, in my opinion, 3-3 Raiders at the 5-2 Browns. Now, the Browns, they had that clutch win for Baker Mayfield throwing 5 touchdown passes last week. But the Raiders, they've been up and down. They've had some questionable losses, but they've beaten the Saints. They've beaten the Chiefs, two teams that no one would have picked them to beat before this season started. And now they're facing the 5-2 Browns in Cleveland. Jenna, I'm going with the Raiders here because I still don't believe in the Browns. I think they're eking out of the game with the Bengals last week. They needed that to stay afloat because if they had lost that game, I think they would have started to fall apart. But I think this is one of those weeks where you see them, they're missing Odell Beckham Jr. Nick Chubb still isn't back. I think this is just a lot to put on their guys.
I'm with you on that. And a lot of people I've been talking with this have been saying, are you crazy? You're going with the Raiders? I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to have the type of game he had against the Bengals against the Raiders. I think it was not, I don't want to say an anomaly, but he's not going to stay that hot for a consistent stretch of time. And I just think the Raiders, they're a little bit more suited. Again, you have to look at the fact that Cleveland played Cincinnati in two games. They won those two games, but they were close games both times. And so I think the Raiders team is just a better team right now. It's going to be close. I want to say this is probably going to be a 3-point swing, but you know, I think Oakland or, oh yeah, well, Vegas. Okay.
I was there myself a couple times. I might have done it. I wasn't paying attention. But
it's like you sit there. It's like second nature at this point. I think Vegas takes care of business. The one thing I do worry about is that it's a 1 o'clock game on the East Coast.
True.
So, you know, take that for what you will. But I still think Vegas wins this game.
It's always nighttime for anyone in Vegas, everywhere you go. but yeah, so we're both with the Raiders there. Now for another interesting game by two teams I can't figure out this year. The 4-2 Colts at the 3-3 Lions. Every time I think the Colts are going to win, they lose. Every yep. time I think the Lions are going to win or lose, they win. I don't know who either team is, but I'm picking the Colts because they have a better defense, but throw my hands in the air. I don't know.
I was going to say, that's probably going to be my argument too. Just the Colts have this defense that's touted to be one of the best in the league. You're like, okay, sure. I think they're still trying to figure out their identity. Obviously, Phillip Rivers, you know, he's adjusting to that system. I still want to say the Colts in this game, but the Lions could surprise people. DeAndre Swift has been playing really well as of late after his first game with a little bit of a blunder. So I cautiously want to say the Colts, but this could be a toss-up.
This could be a toss up. I'm interested to see how it plays out because both teams. I mean, the Lions. They did just trade to get Everson Griffin from the Cowboys. They believe that this could be a year for a run for them. But I also think this is Matt Patricia. He needs to prove something this year for them. So maybe there's a must win factor there for him, and maybe the Lions gut it out. But I'm still going with the Colts. I think they're the better team. Now for a game that I think doesn't need too much analysis. It's the 1-5 Vikings at the 5-1 Packers. I think the Vikings have pretty much packed it in on the season, and the Packers are they're ready to get marching again.
I think the Packers win this game, especially I think there's still that looming anger from Aaron Rodgers after losing to the Bucks the way that they did. So I think we're going to continue to see him come out here, light it up, and just the Vikings, as big of a rivalry game as this is, I just don't think that's really going to play into it because the Vikings are not as great as they have been to play in this rivalry in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been a while. Now, another game that absolutely needs new analysis, it's Adam Gase's Jets. It's the Chiefs. I mean, this is your survivor pick this week. Everyone just picked the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs are 19.5-point favorites, Jenna.
Oh, is that the biggest spread that there's been this season? I think it has to be.
Like, I haven't even done the research for that, but it just has to be the biggest spread of the season.
God. And one of the players on the Chiefs said, like, they're still a really good team. They just haven't won a game. And I'm like, oh my God, like, of course you're going to say that, but yeah, oh my God, they're so bad. That's
coach speak. That means Andy Reid, he's nailing in the message, man. He's like, yeah, they're a good team. We have to be aware of what they can do.
It's just the fact that the Bills can beat the Jets without scoring a touchdown tells you everything you need to know.
Jeez. Yeah, it does. It really does. So we're both picking the Chiefs there. Yep. Right along, Rams at the Dolphins. Big game in Miami because it's Tua Tagovailoa's first NFL start. But those Rams, I don't know if you got a chance to watch on Monday night, Jenna, but they were coming after the Bears. They would have shut out the Bears were it not for a defensive touchdown by Chicago. I'm going with the Rams. I think Aaron Donald introduces the rookie in Tua Tagovailoa in a harsh way to the NFL.
I was just going to say, welcome to the NFL, Tua Tagovailoa, courtesy of Aaron Donald, because, oh my, like, the decision in itself, I get why Miami wanted to do this and wanted to bring Tua in. They said it was going to happen before their bye week, and it originally was supposed to be, I think, week, like, 9 or 10, so it was going to be later in the season. But just the fact that his first game that he's going to play is going to be against the Rams defense. It's just, oh man, you hope he does well. You want to see success, but I just think LA continues to roll here.
No. Yeah. I agree with you there. Tough situation for Tua, but hey, maybe he takes it positively. He took on challenges pretty well all through college. So we'll see how that goes. Moving right along. We get to our 4 o'clock games here. An AFC West showdown, 2-4 Chargers at the 2-4 Broncos. I'm going with the Chargers because of Justin Herbert and because Drew Lock really hasn't put it together. But there's always random things that happen in the AFC West that never make any sense. So I'm still keeping an eye on this game. But if I was a betting man, I would still pick the Chargers just because I think their offense is going to be much more dangerous.
Yeah, and I think from what we've seen from Herbert kind of up to this point, there's already offensive rookie player of the year talks, which deservedly so. He has looked great. Again, you still need to put the pieces together. He's still kind of coming into his own, coming into the league, figuring things out. But the fact that, you know, who did they beat last week? Why is it off the tip of my tongue that I can't?
I don't remember.
Drum roll. I know it.
I can't remember. Well, hold on. We'll find out.
every week blends together. It's fine. We're good.
Oh, the Jaguars. They beat the Jaguars.
They beat the Jags. That's right. I think that win gives them a lot of confidence because, again, they've been in so many of those one-score games and haven't been able to win those one-score games that, hey, you get the ball rolling a little bit here. You have the Denver Broncos, whose defense isn't entirely as spectacular as what it usually is. I think this is a good, solid win for Herbert to kind of continue with his momentum here.
Certainly there. Now, an interesting NFC matchup, 4-2 Saints at 5-2 Bears. The Saints are, they've had their disappointments this year, but they need to pick it up if they want to start making their moves to get back in this playoffs, because right now the NFC West has so many teams that are pushing for those wild card spots. And the NFC South has the Buccaneers, who are red hot right now. So the Saints are not guaranteed anything in this playoff race, and they get to play the 5-2 Bears, who just got wrecked by the Rams. But the Bears are at home. I'm going with the Saints here, Jenna, but I'm interested to see how the Bears defense plays the Saints. Michael Thomas is supposed to be back this week. But we'll see how that plays out.
I'll hold my breath on that because I have him in fantasy and it has not been fun. I do think this is a game the Saints win. I think the Bears, I'm still not entirely sold on them this season. And I think a lot of what the Rams were able to do kind of exposed them a little bit. I think this is going to be a fun game for sure. But I my gut says take New Orleans in this just because of what Drew Brees can do. And again, if he's getting Michael Thomas back, you're getting your number one wide receiver back for the first time in at least, I believe it's 3 games, possibly more. He's been trying to find that chemistry with so many of his receivers. It's been developing, but you get your number one guy back, your go-to guy. And I think we see Brees have a nice solid day against the Bears. But again, the Bears defense, Khalil Mack, he can wreck a game plan in an instant.
He absolutely can. We've seen him do it for years. So we'll keep an eye on that. Now, NFC West showdown, we were just talking about this division. The 4-3 Niners, who utterly destroyed the Patriots last week up against the Seahawks, who were 5-1 and lost their first game last week to the Cardinals. Now, Jenna, this could be an upset in the making here. And I'm going with Danger Russ Wilson. I think he's still going to put the numbers up. But I think the Niners could make this an interesting game.
I think you're right. This is one that initially I almost want to jump to say Seattle. You know, they're looking to come back after that overtime loss against the Cardinals, which, my God, I need all of that game just injected into my veins forever on repeat because, oh, that was a fun, fun football game to watch.
Yeah, everything.
But I think we could also kind of see that type of game from this matchup too. I mean, it kind of plays the storylines of what happened from both of these teams a week ago play really well coming into this matchup. The 49ers kind of getting some of their momentum back after losing a couple games that maybe they should or shouldn't have lost. They're getting some guys that are healthy again. Seattle, again, we know what Russ has been able to do this season. We know what those receivers. DK Metcalf is just, I'm just going to just let him do anything forever and always because when he chased down Buda Baker, I was like, yeah, this is just, oh man, I will watch that also on repeat. So, I mean, these are going to be fun teams.
But that produced several many great memes of things that are catching up to things. That led to one of my favorite of those memes. I got to ask you this while we're still going through picks. My favorite one was where it showed Buda Baker was being October 31st and DK Metcalf was being Christmas music. my response, though, was, Whoa. The rule is the day after Thanksgiving, not Halloween. You respect Turkey Day before you get to Christmas music. Jenna, Is that your rule as well? You think that's right? Or do you start busting out the Mariah Carey as soon as Halloween's over?
No, I'm even one of those people, December 1st. Once you get to December, you get 25 days of Christmas. That was the old ABC Family thing. You get 25 days of Christmas music. Thanksgiving deserves to be celebrated. It's a holiday centered around family. And I mean, equal importance, food. It's a holiday centered around family and food. We are going to celebrate that. And then we can get to Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's just important to respect your holidays. So I'm glad that you are a sane person, Jenna, unlike some people who just listen to Christmas music just because they can after the first day of November 1st. Let's just get out of here. Get out of here. We don't
get out of here.
Now, Sunday night football here. Cowboys at the Eagles. Cowboys 2-5, Eagles 2-4-1. This is really a battle for first place here. Because the Cowboys could win and get 3-5, and they would technically be over the Eagles, who would be 2-5-1. it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, but that's the feeling you get. You laugh like, this is ridiculous. Why? How did we get here? But here we are. I think the Eagles are going to give the Cowboys hell. You were talking about DiNucci earlier with at the quarterback. He's, for those who don't know, DiNucci is the Cowboys' third-string quarterback. He's a Pine Richland product, so he's from the Pittsburgh area. But now they're going up against the Eagles, and the Eagles, like, they're starting to get healthy again. I just don't see any chance for the Cowboys to win.
Not at all. And you want to root for Ben DiNucci. I hope he plays well, and I hope they have a great game. But I just think Philly coming back, getting healthy guys, getting their receiving core back on, because my God, they have been decimated by injuries this season. It's just looking at that depth chart, you're like, oh goodness. But I mean, the Eagles, I hate saying this like this, but like, the Eagles are a better team than their record when they're healthy and against the teams they've played. And I mean, Dallas is just, again, also dealing with some injuries, but yeah, this is going to be a fun game. but I think Philly does take care of business. And if they get that win, that one tie is going to be so crucial for them moving forward.
I think it's going to be huge. It has a lot of implications for them. I remember the last time they tied the Bengals was 2008, and that led to them, getting bumped around in some of the wild card considerations. But there's no wild card for the Eagles this year. They have to win the NFC East. So we'll see how that plays out. Last game here that's not the Steelers, Monday Night Football. Another game I think you could pick for your Survivor Leagues. Buccaneers at the Giants. I think the Buccaneers just smoked the Giants. It's not even crazy. It's not even easy.
No, if you're not picking the Bucs in this game, I don't know what you're doing. I don't want to hear the, New York Giants or Tom Brady's kryptonite. I do not want to hear that, because not at all. This team, oh my God, it's painful. The Bucs are getting guys back, getting receivers back that are healthy. They're rolling. They're in a lot of conversations about how good they are. I think they still need to prove it. But if you make a statement win against this Giants team, which they should do, if this is a close game, then I'll still kind of question the Bucs a little bit. But I hear whispers around that this is like the Bucs are the fantasy all-star team you wanted from like 4 years ago.
They are. They are, though. Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette. Jeez.
Like, yikes. So we'll see if they can continue to roll, but this shouldn't even be a question. I do not see the Giants winning this game at all.
Now, something Dale Lally of DKPittsburghSports.com, he told me on the DK Steelers podcast, he told me that it's interesting and even a little too convenient for him that last week the Raiders offensive line caught COVID and they had players miss game. This week, the Giants offensive line has caught COVID, and they're having some players that might miss. So his thinking is, maybe it's Tom Brady who's the one who's been doing the cheating all this time. Maybe Bill Belichick has just been an innocent little lamb, unresponsible for anything that's been done.
Yep, maybe it was Brady. Maybe is Brady pulling one over on all of us, and then he's going to leave once he's all done and be like, by the way, got you all.
I know, it was me the entire time.
the evil villain laugh.
Yeah, it could be rather funny. All right, those are our non-Steelers game. We're going to throw it to a quick break here, but when we come back, it's time to break down our top matchups for this game and then give you our final score predictions for the Steelers versus the Ravens. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, with Jenna Harner of WPXI Channel 11. Jenna, it's time to talk Steelers-Ravens week. Now, this is your first Steelers-Ravens week since you've been in Pittsburgh covering sports here for Channel 11. So now you're being indoctrinated with the rivals history. So as an outsider, what has been your understanding of the rivalry's history and your observations early on here?
As an outsider, this was always such a fun game to watch. Like, this was always one of those around the league games you needed to make sure that you saw year in, year out, because I mean, both of these teams, and again, they're known for their defenses, and you get that storyline of, you know, it's always the defensive battle. Doesn't matter who's at quarterback. You know, these head coaches are both so smart in what they're doing, and these are fun games. So I'm so excited that I get to see this in action and just kind of soak it all in, as you know, this is the rivalry. Obviously, the Browns-Steelers rivalry is a taste of its own, but especially right now with this being as competitive as it is, I mean, you know, for Steelers fans, seeing their excitement that, you know, this game is going to be arguably one of the best games of the season. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I think there's some really good matchups now. You guys have heard me for weeks talk about when it comes to you're playing good teams, you know, where's the rubber meet the road? Where's your unstoppable force meeting an immovable object? And for the past 2 weeks, it's been the Steelers' run defense against the Browns' run offense and then the Titans' run offense. Well, now, because the Browns were the number one rushing offense in the league, the Titans were the number five rushing offense in the league, but now the Ravens are the number one rushing offense in the league. And they do it differently because the Browns did it splitting Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. The Titans did it all with Derrick Henry. But the Ravens, their leading rusher is Lamar Jackson. And it looks like they won't have Mark Ingram, and they've kind of let on that they're going to start Gus Edwards and split carries between him and J.K. Dobbins. I've been looking at the tape for these guys and the way that they use their offensive line, the way they use their running backs. Jenna, what's your outlook on how the Steelers can approach the Ravens offense with all the things that they do?
I mean, I think they're just going to be as hungry as they have been this season. There was a really insane stat that I think five of the Steelers guys on defense have at least three or more sacks. No team in the NFL has four guys that have that, let alone five guys. Mm-hmm. We saw in the first game, because Jackson didn't play in the second game, these two teams met last year. We saw in the first game, the Steelers defense was really able to get to Lamar Jackson. What they sacked, they picked him off three times, I believe.
Three times and five sacks.
And five sacks. I mean, that rattles a guy's confidence. And I think there's a lot of that discussion of Lamar Jackson plays really well. How does he play in big games? And I think that this is going to be a real mental test for him. And I think the Steelers are going to really try to exploit that. They are, you know, people are still it's so funny to me. People are still looking at the Steelers and saying, well, they're undefeated, but there's a lot of those, like, the undefeated, but you come out here, you neutralize Lamar Jackson, you put up a lot of points against this Ravens defense, and all of a sudden, everyone is turning their heads towards the Steelers. I'm sure there's still going to be people that have other things to say. But this is a game, I think, where the defense – understands what they have to do. I mean, we talked with Minkah Fitzpatrick earlier today, and it was really interesting to kind of hear his perspective. You know, he said you can't just entirely focus on Lamar Jackson because that plays into exactly what they want you to do. You do that, and all of a sudden he chucks a ball 90 yards down the field, and all of a sudden things are done and over with, and you're toasted. So I think the defense just needs to play within themselves. I know that's such a cliche, but the emotions of this game are going to be a big factor. And I think if the defense can, you know, weather that storm a little bit, if Spillane can do what he was able to do, that hit against Derrick Henry, that's another thing I'm just replaying in my mind. But I think if he can kind of step up and be in that position that he was in last week, I think this should bode really well for the Steelers. I really do.
I think that they have experience covering the mobile quarterbacks and maintaining gap integrity. They did it very well last year. I broke that in my Carter's Classroom column. Broke that down earlier this week for DKPittsburghSports.com. And what's funny is last year they often didn't even really involve Devin Bush in stopping Lamar Jackson. He was more so helping downfield. Yeah. So I'm interested to see what their approach is this time around. But I'm with you. I think that the way the Ravens run the ball, it's also huge that they don't have Marshall Yanda anymore.
Yeah.
He was one of the best guards that I've seen in football, and when I see them try to replace him, I mean, you see that they don't establish the same kind of leverage with their offensive line. A lot of their runs catch people off guard, or they're Lamar Jackson taking advantage of you keeping a lane open. So I see this as a chance where if the Steelers continue to show that they have gap integrity, they're sticking to their assignments, they're not getting beat in the hole. I think this is the opportunity to really contain Lamar Jackson, cover the middle of the field. The Steelers have been great at stopping tight ends this year, and Mark Andrews has 5 touchdown receptions. They take him out of the equation and force Lamar Jackson to beat them with Hollywood Brown and Miles Boykin. I think that they put themselves in a really good position. And that Steelers offense, now the Ravens are the number one scoring defense in the NFL. But
yep.
They haven't been great against the run. They haven't been great against the pass. I think it's been more so they've been able to get up on teams and sort of grind it out. And that's one of the reasons they have the top rushing offense, is that because when they have a lead, they're able to run clock, run the ball, keep your offense off the field. I think if the Steelers get in this game, they need to get that early lead. And like you said, put that pressure on Lamar Jackson and force him to have to make some big throws outside the numbers and see how well he does there.
If the Steelers can get an early lead and maintain it and you force Jackson to play catch up, kind of just what you were saying, I think it's going to be a whole different dynamic than if they can allow Jackson to establish the game that he wants to establish, which we know is that dual threat that he poses and brings into this one.
Absolutely. Okay, it's time for the nitty-gritty. Jenna, what is your final score for Steelers at Ravens in week 8?
Oh, this one was so tough. This is really tough. I'm going Steelers 27, Ravens 24. I think we're still going to see scoring. Not entirely crazy high scoring by any means, but I think what the Steelers offense has been able to do, the points that they've been able to put up week in and week out, I think they're hitting that 27-point mark. And I think we still see some stuff from the Ravens, and it might be a situation where we saw kind of late touchdowns like we did with Tennessee kind of coming back into the game. But I think if the Steelers can maintain that early lead, if they can play the game that they played against the Titans in the first half, if they can play that for even 3 quarters, I think this should be a win for the Steelers, hands down.
I'm with you. I'm a very similar score here. I got 31-27 for the Steelers. I think that they're going to be able to put up some touchdowns on these guys. I also think that the Ravens are going to be able to put up some scores late, but I think they're going to end up settling for some Justin Tucker field goals mid-game. And then eventually they're going to start getting desperate, and that's where the Steelers start to take advantage. And that's when I think the Steelers are able to claim victory and get to a 7-0 record for the first time since 1978. Jenna, we're both going Steelers here. We're both in your first Steelers Ravens week. I know you've got to be excited. This is going to be crazy.
It's just like, you love the fact that all the storylines are coming into this game this way. Both of these teams are as good as they are. The Steelers are where they are. They have all those weapons. Lamar Jackson is who he is. And this is also, is this the first time Ben and Jackson have faced off before?
It is. Jackson was merely a runner when they faced off 2 years ago.
Oh.
And he was a starting quarterback the first time last year against the Steelers when Ben Roethlisberger was hurt. So this is their first time ever meeting, which is very interesting. And we were talking about this before the season. Ben's in the Heisman quarterback division, where Mayfield, Burrow, and Jackson have all won that award. And so far he's 1-0 against those guys. We'll see how it pans out this time. I've heard from some people, from more than one person, that Ben feels like this is a time to make a point about that.
Yep, I think so. And I think we'll see that from him, especially, again, the game that he had against Tennessee. Granted, you could say 1.5 of those interceptions were really quote-unquote his fault. But I think after that, you could see how frustrated he was. He's not going to have that type of day against the Ravens.
I agree. Jenna, thanks as always for doing the Friday edition here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Always great having you here doing the picks. Let our listeners know where they can follow you, find more of your work, and see everything that you're up to.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at JennaHarner11. Instagram is at Jenna_Harner. And then anytime pretty much throughout the week on Channel 11, WPXI, we talk Steelers, we talk this matchup. Next week, we're going to talk the Cowboys matchup. We're doing Skylights on Friday nights. You can tune in for all that. So, yeah, a lot of fun stuff. Tune in.
Absolutely. Do tune into Skylights. I won't be on with Jenna this week. I will be on with her next week. We'll be back at it doing the thing, talking about college or high school football playoffs here. But, yeah, do check out everything Jenna does. She's amazing. Check out me on Twitter. Follow me at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Also, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. If you get a chance, please go on Apple Podcasts, go to look up our podcast and rate us 5 stars with a positive comment. Doing so really helps out the show. And if you do, I'll leave a 5-star review with a positive comment. I will read your comment on air and you will get a shout out to the show. Thanks so much to everyone who've done that. Also join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group where there's over 800 other Steelers fans, as well as myself and other guests on this very show. Thanks for checking us in. We'll be back in your ears Monday morning getting you all the recap after the Steelers play the Ravens. Have a good weekend, everybody.